prepared and do all those things. And I certainly appreciate all the hard work of the singers. And I know also these buildings don't clean themselves. I know there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes workers doing things here and there to be able to host this evening. Church, I do want to say thanks again for hosting Preacher Fugit and I and our wives. And there's some places that I don't want to take my wife back to. But there's some places that she loves to be. And there's preachers' wives that she loves to be around. She certainly loves Miss Kelly, and I appreciate her kindness with her. Her and I had a good time at Brother David and Miss Jennifer's house last night. We appreciate the fellowship with them. It's been very good to be with you. I appreciate that good song that was just sung. I always get tickled when people go by my CD table and they pick up a CD and they look on the back and they look for songs and they don't find any. And there's a reason for that. People ask me all the time, Brother Dallas, do you sing specials? Well, I guarantee if I sang it would be special, amen. I was in a meeting a few weeks ago in Michigan, and there was a singing group that was sitting next to me, and I was able to pick up the different parts. And there was one that was singing baritone. There was one that was singing tenor. There was one that was singing lead. There was another fellow that was singing bass. And I'm so good, I was singing all of them at the same time. Amen. That's how good I am, though. But I do appreciate the good singing. I do want to invite you to the CD table. How many of you still have a CD player in your vehicles? There's more than I thought. All right, go buy a CD then. All right. So, but anyway, I do want you to go buy the CD table. I do appreciate those of you that have bought material off the table, and I do want you to at least pick up one of our prayer cards. We definitely covet the prayers of God's people. But let me just tell you what the money goes towards on that CD table. As I said last night, in our addictions outreach every Wednesday night there. Matter of fact, they had the service there. Brother Jonathan, if you get taught there this evening. But my wife made, how many of you have ever had burrito chicken casserole? Amen. She made that before the service tonight. And everything that we make on the table, we just put that in an account, and we use that money to feed those that come to our addictions outreach. So, again, if you don't like the preaching, your money is going towards a good cause and getting those folks to that meeting. So we do appreciate those of you that have bought CDs off the table. And again, I appreciate you being so kind to my wife. And Preacher Fugit and I have texted each other quite a few times today, and he certainly enjoyed himself here. And I told the preacher this today, and a few men on the staff today. He fights back and forth. He travels, I guess, about 45, 46 Mondays and Tuesdays a year. Sometimes he travels on Thursday and Fridays as well. And sometimes he fights whether or not should he travel or should he just devote all of his time at home. And he said it today in a text. He said it's churches like Clearview Baptist Church that continue to make me want to pack my bags and travel across the country and preach. I like what he said last night. He said he likes the pace of ministry here. And what he meant by that is this. He's been, I guess, we've preached three meetings here together. It's usually every couple of years that we have in the past. And I like to see new faces. And that just means one thing, that the church is keeping the main thing, and that is seeing lost sinners saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I encourage you. How many of you are saved tonight? How many of you are saved by the good grace of God? Somebody told us about the Lord, didn't they? Whether it was a preacher behind the pulpit, whether it was somebody that knocked on the door. And I'll tell you, one of the most convicting questions that was ever asked behind the pulpit when I was in a service, a preacher asked this question. He said, if the person that told you about Jesus was as burdened for lost sinners as you and I are, would we be saved tonight, or would we still be lost and on our way to hell? And another statement, and this isn't the message tonight, but another statement, I remember I was dropping Brother Darrell Cox off at the airport. Brother Darrell Cox is probably one of the best personal soul winners that I've ever been around, and I've had the opportunity to go out soul winning with him. And he, tears streaming down his face as he was telling about people that he had won to Christ even that week. As I dropped him off at the airport and he was going to go inside the airport, he turned back around and he said, Brother Dallas. He said, you know the only thing more sad than a lost sinner? And I said, what's that, Brother Cox? And he said, it's a lost sinner nobody's looking for. Boy, I'm glad that not only is he a saving Savior, but I'm glad he's also a seeking Savior. Amen. And I want to be on board with the thing that is nearest and dearest to God's heart, and that is to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. So I appreciate the good faith, as the preacher said last night, of the church. But let's stay faithful to what God intended for us to do, and that is to tell others about his darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter number 41. Isaiah chapter number 41. That temperature has dropped outside. Amen. Matter of fact, I drove downtown Memphis today, and it's so cold, the thugs even had their pants pulled up today. Amen. That's pretty cold. Amen. So anyway, you pray for me. I normally would leave after the service and drive to Lexington, but with the rain and the freezing rain and all that, I'm going to wait till in the morning. And you pray for our safety. We definitely covet the prayers of God's people. I want to, and I don't want to ever just pull a sermon out of a briefcase. I don't want to do that. I want to be mindful of what the Lord would have me to preach. And I haven't been in it very long, but I have been in it long enough to realize this, that it always works out a whole lot better when I do what God tells me to do instead of what I want to do. But I do want to preach to you an older message tonight. And the Lord gave me this particular truth, and before I was ever able to preach it publicly behind the pulpit, I'm thankful that the sweet comforter of the Holy Ghost preached it to me privately. And it sure was a help to me in the early days of, and this is the only time I'll use the statement tonight, in the early days of COVID-19, in March of 2020, this message was a help to me, and I hope that it will be a help to you. You know, tonight, the question, just because you and I are saved by the grace of God, there's nowhere in that Bible does it say that just because we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, that we'll never go through difficult times. The question tonight is not, will you and I go through difficult times? The question tonight, child of God, is what will we do when we do go through the difficult times of life? And all of us go through difficult times. All of us go through storms. All of us go through valleys. And we don't know when those difficult times will come. We don't know when those storms will come. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news tonight. But every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. On a weekly basis, there's never a week that goes by. There's never a week that goes by when I sit in a prayer meeting of a church service where I don't hear that word, or I always hear that word cancer mentioned in a prayer service. Somebody's loved one or somebody's friend has just found out that they've had cancer. I don't know if it's because of the life that God saved me, but God's given me, a ministry to be able to help, moms and dads that have wayward sons and daughters. And it seems like there's never a week that goes by where I don't catch the tears of some brokenhearted mama or some brokenhearted daddy over their wayward son or daughter. I think about my own family. I was preaching in Georgia some time ago, and during the day I ran over to Walmart, and I saw right there in the front of Walmart a tractor trailer, and it was for the company that my dad had given his entire life to for 40 years and drove 4.5 million miles across the country. And boy, tears started streaming down my face when I saw that tractor trailer, because my dad was just forced to retire because of declining health. That's a difficult time that my dad's going through. And I don't know what difficult time you go through. You don't know the ones that I go through, but we all do. But I'm thankful tonight, when you and I don't have all the answers to all of life's questions, I'm glad that we have a book that has all the answers to all of life's questions. I hope that the message will be a help to you tonight. Let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 41, and I'm going to read one verse tonight, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. I'll read verse number 10. I'm going to ask Brother Colin Hannah after I read verse number 10, if he'll open us up in prayer. And after he prays, let me give you a couple of personal illustrations, and then I'll get right into the preaching of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Brother Hannah. Amen. You may be seated tonight. In the middle of March of 2020, I'd heard that term that I used a while ago that I told you I wouldn't even say it again tonight. I'd heard it before, but it didn't really mean nearly as much to me then as it does tonight. We had just finished up our big youth conference there in Lexington, Kentucky, and I believe after it was all said and done that week, there was over 1,100 young people and youth directors and pastors from across the country that came to that that youth meeting there in Lexington, and I had the opportunity and the privilege to be able to share the pulpit with our youth pastor and our preacher and a couple of other men of God that preached in that meeting. And boy, we saw a great move of God and a spirit of revival and some young people saved and even young men surrendering to preach. And to say the least, after that meeting was over, we were definitely on a spiritual high. And as soon as that meeting was over, I packed my bags and my wife dropped me off the airport the very next day, and I can't remember which airport it was, whether it was Charlotte or Raleigh, but I flew into one of those airports, and I'd never been with the preacher before. He had invited me about a year and a half before, and we put it on the calendar, and I hoped that he knew what I looked like because I didn't have a clue what he looked like. And as I waited there on the curb after I got my bags, I got in his vehicle, and we began to drive 2 hours from the airport to the town that he pastored in Roanoke Springs, North Carolina. And he began to tell me about the seriousness of that thing that I talked about a little while ago in his town. He began to tell me of how businesses were shutting down. He began to tell me of how restaurants were shutting down. And that's when it became serious in my mind, when he began to tell me the restaurants were shutting down. He began to tell me of how the governor was set to even sign a mandate before the week was up that no more than 10 people could meet in the church service at a time. And he said, "Brother Dallas," he said, "I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to finish the revival this week." Now, we were able to finish it, but he said, "I'm not sure if we're going to be able to." And I began to think, well, maybe it's just that way in Roanoke Springs, North Carolina, but surely it's not that way in Lexington, Kentucky, where I just left my wife there at the airport. But sure enough, as I called Nikita, she began to tell me the same thing was happening there in Lexington. And I said, well, maybe it's that way in Roanoke Springs, North Carolina. Maybe it's that way in Lexington, Kentucky. But surely it's not that way in Memphis, Tennessee, where my elderly mom and dad live. But sure enough, as I talked to my mama and daddy, they began to tell me of how the same thing was happening in this area. As I began to talk to pastor friends and family from across the country, I began to realize that America as a whole, for the first time in my lifetime and in your lifetime as well, was shutting down as a whole. And I'll be honest with you, fear began to grip my soul. I've never been one to watch the news very much, but I began to watch the news, and boy, even more fear began to grip my soul. And I'm just being transparent with you tonight. I began to call the airlines and began to try to find an earlier flight back home. And I was just going to tell the preacher that maybe I would come some other time and preach a revival. And let's get past all of this seriousness of the virus. I even called Nikita and began to tell her my plans of coming back home early. And she began to say, "Well, Chris, She said, don't you think the people in the pew are fearful as well? She said, why don't you just grab your Bible and preach the Word of God and try to help those people that come to the church service, and maybe in the process you'll be helped as well. And then I say, I appreciate the spirituality of my wife, but she gets a little bossy at times, amen. You say, Brother Dallas, what you do? Well, I stayed there and I preached the revival. And I remember that week as I was watching the news, and again, I've never been one to watch the news very much that week. It seemed like I watched the news 24/7. And I had that recliner there in that bedroom. I had it backed up to a window there in the motel room. And I began to pick up on a statement after a couple of days of watching the news. And reporters were making this statement, or those news anchors were making this statement over and over again. They would say, America is going to come back bigger and better than she's ever been. But never one time in that statement did they ever mention God. I remember one day picking up on that statement, and I remember as I watched that news anchor make that statement again, and as I looked across that that big king-size bed in that motel room, and there was an end table on the other side, not this Bible, but my reading Bible that I carry with me. It was completely shut on that end table across that big king-size bed. And how the Spirit of God began to convict my heart that I was more concerned or I was more convinced about what a news anchor had to say about the matter than I was what God had to say about the matter. And can I say, there that day, I turned the television set off, and I haven't watched very much news since, but I guarantee you this, I spent a lot of time in that Bible, and I spent a lot of time on my knees in prayer, and thank God tonight, I'm not living in fear, but I'm living by faith, amen. Can I say tonight, I'll finish that illustration here in just a little while. Turn your Bibles back to Isaiah chapter number 41 tonight. Isaiah chapter number 41. The Bible says again in verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, if you and I, those of us that love the Word of God, those of us that are students of the Bible, well, we know that the book of Isaiah is a mini-Bible in its structure. For instance, there are 66 books contained in the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 books in the New Testament. And the book of Isaiah consists of 66 chapters divided into two parts. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah, it deals with God's people during and in their captivity. And the last 27 chapters deal with God's children after their captivity. You'll find that our text verse tonight is in the second half of Isaiah. And Isaiah is giving a message not only to convict the Babylonians, but also to comfort the Israelites. And tonight I want to focus on that comforting aspect this evening. I want you to notice the language. God is speaking directly to His people through Isaiah, and this verse is a very positive verse and a very encouraging verse. Can we be reminded tonight, church, these people were captives. They were prisoners in the land of Babylon. They found themselves there, yes, because of their disobedience to God. But even in their disobedience, God never forgot about His children. Matter of fact, God had prophets that preached and prophesied concerning getting right and what was to come to them if they were to get right. God never intended for His people to stay in captivity. And Isaiah's message was a message of peace and hope in a world of war and despair. It was the year 1939, the beginning of World War II. The British government produced a motivational poster. That poster was intended to raise the morale of the British public, which were threatened with wildly predicted mass air attacks on major cities in Great Britain. 2.45 million copies were printed, and although the mass air attacks known as the Blitz did take place, that poster was only rarely publicly displayed and was little known until a copy was rediscovered in the year 2000 in a local bookstore. That poster simply read these words, keep calm and carry on. And And that's the message I believe that Isaiah was portraying to God's people. Just keep calm and carry on. Fear not was his exact message. But there was one word that really stuck out to me as I read this verse of Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. I want you to look at it with me tonight. He said this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." That word dismayed means this. It means to deprive of that strength or firmness of mind which constitutes courage. Or in other words, it means to panic. And God was very specifically telling his children, do not panic. He wanted them to be reminded. He was still with them, although he seemed distant. He was still their God, although they seemed alone. He was still their strength. He was still their help, although they felt weak and hopeless. You understand? The world around them had changed, but thank God, God did not change. Amen. Can I say tonight, it's amazing. It's amazing how much our world and our lives have changed in just a little less than 2 years. Can I say America as a whole, it has proven just how spoiled and self-dependent we as a nation have become. Can I say it seems at times that some of God's people at times have become a faithless people. You understand? The world said boo, and God's people jumped. The Bible still says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Can I say I'm not making light of the pandemic that has been declared upon our nation? I'm not making light of the difficult time you're going through, or the storm you're going through, or the valley you're going through. But can I say tonight, church, let the world panic and lose their minds. But let God's people just keep calm and carry on. Can we be reminded tonight? You and I have something inside of us that the world does not have in them. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And another name for the Holy Ghost, his name is Comforter. And I thank God he will comfort us through the difficult times of life. Amen. Let me give us five reasons tonight. Five reasons from Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. On why you and I can keep calm and carry on. Look at it with me. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not." Look at it. "For I am with thee." Brother Dallas, give me a reason why I can just keep calm and carry on. Number one, I'll tell you why. Because God is a present God. Amen. He is a present God. He said, "I am with thee." He told us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, "He will never leave us nor forsake us." About 70% of the time, my wife will drop me off at the airport in Lexington, and I'll fly somewhere across the country to preach the Word of God. And you understand, I may leave her in Lexington, but I don't forsake her when I'm somewhere else. But my friend, I thank God, my Bible tells me that He doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. And thank God, He's there every step of the way through the difficult times that we go through. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I'll tell you why we keep calm and carry on, because He's a present God. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's with Moses through the wilderness wanderings. He's with Joseph while he was in the pit, the prison, and the palace. He's with Elijah in the cave and on the mountain. He is with David as he slew Goliath. He is with Daniel in the lion's den. He is with the people in Babylonian captivity. He is with Paul in prison. Can I say, my friend, I'm glad that He's an omnipresent God. He's with our missionaries across the globe as well as He's with us tonight. Can I ask you tonight, aren't you thankful that you don't have to go to some confessional booth and confess your sin to some other sinner like us? But thank God we can go directly to the Father. Why? Because He's present. Amen. Can I say tonight, the Bible says, Isaiah 43 and verse number 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." He assured his people back in Isaiah's day that when they passed through the waters, the rivers, or the fire, everything was going to be all right because He was with them. And I'm glad the same is true today. We have an ever-present God, the psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse number 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Can I say, like child of God, yes, we go through difficult times. Yes, we go through storms of life. But you and I can keep calm and carry on because he's a present God. Amen. Number two, look at it with me. Number two, that they only had 27 of them tonight. Amen. Look at it. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. This may be my favorite one right here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's present. Be not dismayed. Don't panic now. For I am thy God. Brother Dallas, tell me another reason why I can just keep calm and carry on. Not only because he's a present God, but number two, because he's a personal God. That phrase, my God, that's used 148 times throughout the Bible. And God wants to let his people know that he's not just the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. I'm glad he's not just the God of Moses and Elijah and David and Solomon. I'm glad he's a personal God. He was a personal God to each and every one of them. And he's a personal God to each and every one of us. He's my God. He's mine. I got a little ahead of myself a while ago. But can I say tonight, my friend, I'm glad there's one God and one mediator between God and men. And there is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Back in the early days of the pandemic in March of 2020, the Pope went on national, he went on worldwide television. And he said, because of the dangers of the virus, those that follow Catholicism, because of the dangers, that they don't have to go to a pope or to a priest, but because of the dangers, they can go directly to the Father. Well, I've got news for the Pope. I've never had to go to a pope. I've never had to go to a priest. Thank God, I've always been able to go directly to the Father ever since I got saved and reconciled back to him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 through 16, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Thank God tonight, my friend, he's a personal God. Amen. Number three, look at it with me. Look at it with me. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. He's present. Be not dismayed. He's personal. Or be not dismayed. Don't panic, for I am thy God. He's personal. Look at it. I will strengthen thee. But now, give me another reason why I can just keep calm and carry on. I'll tell you why. Because he's a powerful God. Amen. He is a powerful God. Can I be very plain and simple tonight? You say, well, Brother Dallas, you've been plain and simple ever since you've been coming here. Can I say tonight, our God is not some weak and meek old man sitting up in heaven, wringing his hands, worried about what's going on down here on earth. David said it best in 2 Samuel 22 and verse number 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. I'm glad tonight, God is the very definition of power. Amen. There's nobody like God. He's omnipotent, which means containing all power and supreme authority. It's God's power that allows mankind to breathe. It's God's power that spins the earth on her axis. It's God's power that causes the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. It's God's power that holds the stars in the sky. It's God's power that parted the Red Sea. It's God's power that made wet wood catch on fire. It's God's power that shut the mouth of the lions. It's God's power that fell on the day of Pentecost. It's God's power that turned a murderer named Saul into a missionary named Paul. And can I say tonight, child of God, it's the power of God that will calm the storms in your life. Amen. I'm glad I can keep calm and carry on. Because you said, Brother Dallas, how can I keep calm and carry on while you're hollering at me and spitting and sputtering like a big old St. Bernard? Amen. Well, I'm just a little bit excited about the message tonight. Amen. Keep calm and carry on because he's powerful. Number three, number four, look at it with me. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. He's present. Be not dismayed. Don't panic. For I am thy God. He's personal. I will strengthen thee. He's powerful. Yea, today I will help thee. Number four, I can keep calm and carry on because God's my protection. Child of God, can I say tonight, when through your difficult times, through my difficult times, at times it seems like we cannot see God, but rest assured, He sees us tonight. The Bible says in Lamentations 3 and verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. We're not consumed or destroyed because of the very protection of God. The Bible says in Psalm 61 and verse number 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And I'm glad that God really is a shelter in the time of storm. And in the midst of the storm, I'm glad, my friend, He is our protection. Amen. I preach out in Kansas. Miss J.C. is from Kansas out there. And I've noticed every time that I preach to Brother Lee Master that everybody out there, they have what we call basements or storm shelters. I'm talking about the businesses, the restaurants, the homes, the churches. Everybody has a basement or a storm shelter. They call that Tornado Alley out there. And you understand, just because somebody has a storm shelter doesn't mean the storm's not going to come. The storm's going to come regardless if they have a storm shelter or not. But I'm glad that, my friend, yes, you and I will go through storms. I'm glad tonight that He is my shelter and He will protect me when the storm comes. Amen. I'm glad tonight I can keep calm and carry on. Look at it with me lastly tonight. Look at it. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. He's present. Be not dismayed. Don't panic, for I am thy God. He's personal. I will strengthen thee. He's powerful. Yea, I will help thee. He's our protection. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Brother Dallas gave me the last reason why I can just keep calm and carry on. Well, because God is my preservation. Amen. He's my preservation. God's very nature is to preserve, to help, to sustain His children. In other words, He supports us. He holds us up. Just as Aaron and Hur upheld and supported Moses' arms as they fought the enemy, God is holding up the arms of His children in this world of war. I'm glad tonight we're preserved by His Word. The Bible says in Job chapter 4, verse number 4, thy words have upheld him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Can I say there's nothing else in this universe that will help you and I like this book right here? I'm glad this Bible right here is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Child of God, can I encourage you to do something tonight? Hey, watch less of the news or watch no news and find out what God's news says about the matter. Can I say you're not going to get joy and peace and contentment from anything the world has to offer? But thank God that that Bible right there will give us joy and peace in the midst of a storm. Many in this world, they're falling in their sin. They're weak. Their knees are weak and feeble. But I'm glad His Word will sustain us and will prophesy. We finished the revival there at the Central Baptist Church in Roanoke Springs, North Carolina. Brother Stephen Condy, his name, he became a good friend. I'm thankful for him. I can't remember again if it was Charlotte or Raleigh, but either one of those airports, I preached a Wednesday through Sunday revival for Brother Condy. And on Monday morning, either one, Charlotte or Raleigh, both of those airports were very, very busy on a Monday morning. But when he dropped me off there and I got checked in, as I was walking through the corridor there to get to my gate, it was like walking through a ghost town. I got on a plane that would probably seat about 100 people on that plane, and there was a grand total of about 12 of us on there, and that was counting the pilot and the stewardess. We flew into Atlanta, and Atlanta at that time, pre that one thing I talked about earlier, was the busiest airport in all the world. And so got off the plane again. It was very eerie walking through that corridor of that airport, just like it walking through a ghost town. I got on my connecting flight there in Atlanta. We flew into Lexington. We got to Lexington, and the airplane hit the tarmac there in Lexington. Somewhere between Atlanta and Lexington, I'd gotten four phone calls, and they were from the four of the next four pastors that I was supposed to preach revival for, and all four of them left voicemails, and I didn't have to listen to the voicemails to know exactly what they were calling for. They were calling to cancel the meeting. And I remember, again, fear beginning to grip my soul, and I just began to wonder, as I told you last night, I began to ask the questions, and how are we going to be able to take care of this, and how are we going to do this if my livelihood is completely wiped off my calendar? And I remember that Sunday that I was at home was the first Sunday that I'd been at home and not preaching in probably a half a dozen years. And I've said this at that time, before all that took place in 2020, Brother Fugit was my preacher, but during those days he became my pastor. Boy, he fed my soul, and boy, he plowed down my row, and boy, he nailed my sin to the wall, but he also fed me spiritually and encouraged me just to keep on going forward for God, even though I wasn't able to fulfill my call at that particular time. And I remember, as I said last night, I didn't know what else to do except just to walk with the Lord that had got me that far, just reading the Bible and just praying and just trusting God. I remember after that first Sunday night, after the revival there, or that Sunday afternoon after we preached that Sunday morning, I went home to my office, and I knew that we were just limited to watching online services or having online services. Matter of fact, that Saturday night before that, he sent a mass text out to all the membership of Claysville Baptist Church and talked about the mandates and said, we can't have anybody in the church service, just me and my family, because we can only have 10. I don't know if anybody else texted him, but I immediately texted him. I said, have you reached your 10 yet? He said, no, Brother Dallas. He said, we hadn't. I said, do you care if I come to church? He said, come on. And after a couple of weeks, the governor tightened the straps just a little bit more and began to say that only ones that could be in there was those that was preaching in the service, those that were singing, and some security. And he looked at me a couple of weeks later and he said, I now deputize you Otis, amen. And my nickname was Otis for about 6 weeks. And I remember after that Sunday afternoon service, that very first one, I went to my office and I just began to write some ideas down about having an online revival. We were limited to online services. And I texted the preacher and said, what do you think about having an online service? And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I think that's a good idea. He said, I've been thinking about the same thing. I wrote some ideas down too. He said, why don't we get together tonight after church and we'll talk about it. Sure enough, we talked about that night. We had a staff meeting the next day, and we started a Hope for Today revival, that first Monday through Friday revival. And there was folks that were saved watching that revival, and boy, I believe the Lord used it to help some folks. And right when I got home and I began to call those preachers back that had called me to cancel those meetings, the very first pastor that I called, I'd never been with him before, Brother Bevins, in Moline, Illinois, and I was preaching in Iowa, and he came to hear me preach one night, and after the service, he asked me to get my phone number, and he called me the next day, and booked me for a revival about a year and a half down the road, and he was the very first preacher that I was supposed to preach revival for when my calendar was wiped away, and so I called Brother Bevins, and he talked to me, and canceled the meeting, and did all that stuff. And right before he got off the phone with me, he said, now, Brother Dallas, he said, now, I want you to give me your address. And he said, our church wants to send you a love offering, even though you're not coming to preach. I gave him my address. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. I didn't have a clue what to expect. Wasn't expecting anything. And that Monday night, I was preaching in that revival, in that online revival that Monday and Tuesday night. And, boy, I went to the pulpit and still fear gripping my soul and still fearful of the unknown and heavy-hearted, but I try to get up and just try to preach the best that the Lord would allow me and try to be a help to those that I just envisioned that would be watching online, didn't have anybody in the services. And I remember when the service was over there that night, I walked outside to get my vehicle, and there was one of our good golly deacons that was sitting out there in the parking lot, and he was watching the service online, and he flicked his lights on at me, Brother A.G. Tyrus, his name. He flicked his lights on at me and told me to come over there to his truck. And I went over there to his truck. And he shook my hand. And when he shook my hand, he put some cash in my hand. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I want you to get up in the morning. And he said, I want you to take Nikita to the Kroger. And he said, I want you to buy some groceries and fill up your refrigerator. We got up the next morning. We went to the grocery store. We put some groceries in the refrigerator. That Tuesday before the church service, I stopped by the mailbox, and I was running late for the church service there that night. And I stopped by the mailbox and checked the mail, and I noticed that there was an envelope in the mail there from the Central Baptist Church in Moline, Illinois. But I just threw all the mail on my dash, and I had to rush to the church and preach real quick that Tuesday night. And after I got through preaching that Tuesday night, I walked off the platform out to the parking lot, and Brother Tyra was out there again and flicked his lights on at me again. And as I'm walking over to his truck, I'm thinking to myself, I know I'm a big old boy, but I haven't eaten all the groceries yet, amen? And I walked over there, and Brother Tyra handed me a CD. I didn't pay attention to the title of the CD. I didn't look at the songs that were on that CD. I did notice that it was a picture of his daughter and his four granddaughters. And Brother Tyra said, Brother Dallas, he said, I believe this CD will be a blessing to you during these days. I unwrapped the CD, still didn't pay attention to the title of the songs. My mind was on that envelope that was on my dashboard, amen. I unwrapped that CD and I stuck it in my CD player in the truck that I had at that time. And that song was playing, and I didn't really even pay attention to the words, and I was opening up that envelope. And when I opened up that envelope in the Central Baptist Church in Moline, Illinois, I didn't know them, they didn't know me, I'd never been there before. And I looked at the amount of that check, tears began to stream down my face. But all of a sudden, I began to pay attention to the song that was playing on the CD at that very moment. As a matter of fact, it was the title of the entire CD. And the title of that song that was playing when I opened up that envelope was Every Need Supplied. Can I say I live about 15 minutes from the Claysville Baptist Church there in Nicholsville, but that night it took me about an hour and a half to get home, amen, because I just kept on hitting rewind over and over again. And can I say the same God, can I say that that night God said in my heart and God said in my soul, the same God that saved me and the same God that called me was the same God that was going to take care of me along this journey called life. And can I say tonight, church, your need may not be for God to take care of you, the love of us and God's people. But can I say, God doesn't love Chris and Nikita Dallas more than he loves anybody else. And the same God that has taken care of us is the same God that will take care of you. And I'm glad tonight we can keep calling and carry on. Could this be the invitation tonight as we all stand all across the world? Could this be the invitation? There's no doubt that there's needs all across this building. There's no doubt there's needs, and I'm glad that he's a God that can fulfill those needs. I'm glad that he's a God that can answer our prayers. But could this be the invitation tonight, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed? If you're physically able here tonight, can we just step out all across the room and just come to an old-fashioned altar and just thank the Lord for who he is? Can I ask tonight, child of God, when's the last time we just turned and spent time with God? So God, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I've just come to love on you a little while because you first loved me. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace. Lord, I want to thank you for your mercy. Lord, I want to thank you for your justification. I want to thank you for you imputing your righteousness to my account. Lord, I want to thank you for the sweet word of God, your love letter called the Bible. Lord, I want to thank you that I've got oxygen to breathe, legs to walk on. Lord, I want to thank you. Tonight, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you don't know this Jesus that I'll try to talk about a little bit tonight. I say, first of all, you'll never meet a greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing I know about every single person before they meet Jesus. And that one thing is every person has an empty void inside of them before they meet Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know what you try to fill your empty void with. I know what I try to fill mine with. And I just remain empty, and you'll remain empty as well if it's not Jesus. But I'm glad August 16, 1998, when I called upon his name to save my hell-deserving soul, he filled that empty void, and I've never been empty since. We could all testify tonight, God's been mighty, mighty good to us. not one church, there's not one pastor that I've been with in the last 2 years since March 2020. There's not one church or one pastor that I've talked with that has told me, Brother Dallas, our tithes and offerings dipped during that time. Everyone I talked to, they either stayed steady or they were higher and above than they've ever been before. You know why that is? Because God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He even owns the taters on the hill. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. You want me to tell you why the church is going to be all right? Because Jesus said unto him, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not rebel against it. You want me to tell you tonight why Clearview Baptist Church is just on a pace to just continue to grow and go for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you don't have a man or have a staff here that's come to entertain. They've just come to lift up the one who deserves to be lifted up, and that man is Jesus. I'm glad tonight, even though we go through difficult times, I'm not belittling that. We all go through difficult times, but I don't have to panic because I'm glad that God is still on His throne, and I'm glad that I'm still His child, and He's my Father, and I'm glad my Father.